Blog Talk Radio. If words was crack, we would have the most potent shit around. If words is weed, then we got them by the pound. Get high with us tonight as Drip the Mic has found the perfect host to bring our good folks that sound. Every Tuesday it goes down. Your man Hezekiah has broken ground on the Drip the Mic Network, and he brings the Author's Lounge. This is where we meet and greet. Man, Drip the Mic don't compete. No need to be consumed with greed or dishonesty. We lead, uplift, and discuss as our need is to bring verbal muscle to the struggle and hustle to keep dropping digital and paperbacks for the world to read. The Author's Lounge, going up on a Tuesday. As he runs the mic, quarterback like genius when he writes, and he picks his words Tuesday. This script could not have been better written in a movie. A good friend, Hezekiah, has moved in, then committed to moving in our circle and blessing us with his proven pen. Prioritize tuning in 6 p.m. Central and Eastern at 7 p.m. and listen in, because we be going in, and we would love for you to share this experience. Delirious shenanigans accompanied with verbal adjectives, praising words like they are gods, broken down into nouns, verbs, predicates, and adjectives. Since I learned of the days when, like, baseball cards, our melanin displayed us as property for trade, I prayed never again will we be a slave. So I behave as if I'm a human paraphrase. Learn to enunciate, ad-lib, and use my scribe to communicate. And today, the Artist Lounge provides a stage for like-minded kings and queens of the literary community, other artists, and those who create to explore. The Drip the Mic Hotel has opened the doors, as the next 2 hours you endure will be free of commercials, non-judgmental, and impartial, with Hezzy holding it down like Thurgood Marshall. Ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Author's Lounge with your host and my man, Hezzy, in the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. My name is Author Hezzy, and this is the Author's Lounge presented to you by Drip the Mic. The call-in number is 646-378-0355, and press 1 to speak. Tonight, I have a great show for you all. I have two authors, man, that's blazing the trail and that's setting the way for the new authors that's coming behind them. And I'm just so excited to be able to talk to them tonight. And I have a great hip-hop artist, man. He is powerful. I was listening to his music the other night, and I was like, wow. So tonight's show is going to be awesome, and I'm just excited. So let's jump right into it. Our first guest is Miss Anitra Ferguson. She was born and raised in Paris, Texas. Ever since she was young, she was fascinated with words and wordplay. She always knew that writing was her thing. She finally first published her book in 2016, and she currently writes urban dramas and children's books. So I bring to the show our first guest, Miss Anitra Ferguson. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad you could come to the show tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm a little nervous, though, but thank you.
It's okay. You just sit back and relax and just enjoy. Just, you know, do what us authors do. Tell our story.
Right.
But first, I want you to introduce yourself to the world. Let them know who you are and what you do.
My name is Anitra Ferguson. I was born and raised in Paris, Texas. I currently reside in Fort Worth, Texas. Writing is what I was born to do. Written approximately 4 books, and I'm currently working on a 5th, but it's going to be a children's book geared toward little boys.
Okay. So writing was always your passion?
Yes. Writing, I would prefer to write as opposed to speaking. So writing was easier to me than speaking. So, yes.
Yes, definitely. So what is your first book called?
The first book that I released is called Betrayed.
Tell us a little bit about it.
It's centered around 3 sisters. They grew up in the hood. They didn't have a good relationship. One sister is a police officer. One is a stripper, and the other one was an attorney back in the neighborhood that they grew up in. And it's focusing on just the dynamics of sisterhood. And what it feels like at the end to find out that a family member, instead of loyalty, they betray you.
Wow. That must be a good book. Where can we find it?
It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, probably any other site that sells books online.
Okay, so lead me through the process. As you were writing this book, how did you come up with how you wanted to write it, and what was your mindset?
I first came up with the characters based on sisters and family. And I wanted to put a twist on it because I come from a big family, but we were raised to be close and depend on each other, but I wanted to add a twist to the end and to the plot. But normally once I come up with the basis of the story, it writes itself.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Because I'm the same way. Once I write a little, all I need is a little piece.
Yeah.
And that'll lead the way for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does.
When did you first publish your first book?
In 2016.
Mm-hmm. So how did you feel?
I think it was around May 2016.
Okay. How did you feel?
I felt accomplished because it was something that I kept procrastinating on. So once I finally did it, I was like, okay, that's done. So what? On to the next.
I don't like to be nosy and ask women that ages. What? How old are you?
45.
Okay. And you started writing, what, 3 years ago?
I started out writing when I was younger, poetry mainly. But
okay.
I published my first book in 2016. But yeah, poetry is my first love.
You know, because that's what I was getting to, because the same thing for me, like, I waited all these years to finally write a book.
Yeah.
And not knowing that I ever was going to be an author, so that was interesting to me. That's why I wanted to know your age, because that lets the audience know it's never too late.
No, it's never too late, but you usually get the inkling early on, though.
Yeah, that's true. You get the itch. You get the itch.
Yeah.
It feels like scratching the dig because you're too involved in the world.
Right.
So your second book. See, I'm putting you on the spotlight tonight. This is your spotlight. This is your platform to discuss your work. So now we're going to talk about the second book.
The second book I published was a children's book. It's called Sugarfoot and the Magic Crown.
I seen it. I love the cover of that book, too. I love it. So tell me about the process with that.
I just wanted to publish a book that I felt like if I had when I was younger, maybe how betraying, like, being a black African-American girl with the skin color and hair texture, that maybe my self-esteem maybe would have been more positive.
Yes.
So I just wanted to write that book for girls that look like me. So maybe that will help them in the growing up process with self-esteem and positive affirmations.
Now tell me, how was it switching from writing basically a adult book to a children's book? Because I've always wanted to do a children's book, but I'm like, do I have the concept? Do I have the wording for the children? Simple, or do you keep it how it comes to you?
I keep it how it comes to me. Like, once I come up with the concept, and then it just, it's no different for me, it's no different than writing drama. Well, I shouldn't say it's no different. I should say the process is no different.
Okay. So in coming up with the characters, did you think about you when using your childhood and what you went through?
Sugarfoot was my nickname, so I did use Sugarfoot as my nickname, and then I grew up around my grandmother. She was a constant figure, so I guess you could say yes.
Yes, and it's weird because, you know, like in today's world, back when I was growing up and you was growing up, we depended a lot on grandma to lead us, to guide us, to give us, you know, just a words of wisdom. And I think that we're missing that in today's world.
We are missing that. And I was thinking about that. And my childhood, to me, was the best time of my life. Like, I think now kids don't have the opportunity to just be children.
Not at all.
And when I was growing up, that's how we were required to be.
And you didn't have no other choice. A child stayed in a child's place back then.
Right. That is true. That is
true. You know,
true.
Why are you in here with wrong folks to talk to you, you know? The little stuff.
Right.
You know, I was talking to my dad the other night. He was like, you see what you were saying? I was saying yes, sir, and no, sir. But they instilled that in me when I was little. That's what you better say.
That's what you better say, and this how you better act.
So that carries on into adulthood, you know, the little stuff that we learn as little kids. So tell me about your third book.
My third book was called Gangster by Circumstance.
Gangster. I like gangster books.
And it's basically about a young lady that got involved or fell in love with a street dude. He comes up missing, and she has a choice to make. Either she's going to cave into the pressure, or she's going to step up and take his place and run the business.
Okay. Uh-oh, we got somebody with their hand up. Let's see who's calling in. Well, they hung up, so we can keep going. Okay, so this gangster book, was that more in your general and what you like to write, or it was something you was trying out?
I think it's something that I like to write and something that I like to read.
Mm-hmm.
I just like urban literature.
I do too. Sometimes it's like each book that I read that's urban, it's like they all try to sound a lot.
Yeah, sometimes you can fall into that, but that's something that I try not to do.
Yeah. Because we have our own mind, and we want to think like that. You know what I mean? So in this process of writing this gangster book, tell us a little bit about it. What goes on? What's happening? I want you to give out all the details. Let's lead us through that book.
I come up with the name of the characters, and I try and figure out how I want to portray them on the page. Like what are their attitudes, how will they speak, and then I want to, I'm trying to paint a picture as to maybe once you get familiar with the character from reading them, that maybe you can figure out what's going to happen next.
Okay.
And then I also don't want you to know what's going to happen next, because I want to surprise you at the end. I want to pull you in and surprise you at the end. So maybe you thought this was going to happen, but by the end, you're surprised. And like, I never thought that was going to happen.
I like it.
Once I'm focused and I figure out, you know, the characters and how I want to write the story, it's not hard for me to, I think the hardest thing for me is to actually sit down and write, because I've been procrastinating.
And it's not that, it hits you all at once. The idea and the concept of, oh man, I got to write this. This is what I want to write.
Yeah, or waking up in the middle of the night and, oh, I
got to
jot this down.
Like, I wrote a little excerpt to one of the books that I'm about to write, and I cannot find that excerpt nowhere. And I posted it on Facebook somewhere, so now I got to find it. And it's driving me crazy, because that's going to be a part of what I'm going to write.
Right.
And I have a hard time with authors that can just write books all day, every day. Like, oh, I'm starting on my third, my fourth. I'm like, how?
Oh, yeah. I don't understand that either.
Because it doesn't come to me like that. It's an art.
Yeah, I never understood how they could do that. Number one, I don't have the time. But then...
Are you feeling comfortable now?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
So who was your inspiration growing up? Who inspired you and who was around you that, you know, that's uplifting?
Are you talking about my upbringing?
Yes.
My grandmother, that was my mother, and she had, I don't want to get the number, 5 sisters.
Wow.
So, yeah, I had a lot of women around me that molded me and led by example of how a woman is supposed to act and supposed to carry herself.
Definitely. We don't have that these days. Well, you know, me growing up, my uncles and them set the examples of what I should do and shouldn't do and stuff like that, you know, when you're away from home.
Right. I should also say my on my father's side too, there's women that presented an example too. So I had it on both sides.
Right. That's great right there. That's really amazing. So with your writing, in 5 years from now, what would you hope to have accomplished?
I'm trying to get on that bestsellers list.
Girl, me too.
That is on my list, yeah. My vision board.
Okay. That's a great vision board, I tell you that.
So we're going to see 5 years from now.
Oh, you'll get there. Don't ever say never. So we touched on your first 3 books. Let's touch bases with your fourth.
My fourth book is Betrayed 2. It's a continuation of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Is just picking up where the first book left off. And it gets deeper into the family dynamics and why, basically why they act the way that they act.
Mm-hmm.
And just basically more family drama and will they make amends, or is the family just going to go their separate ways?
Ooh, that's a nice twist and plot. So did you grow up in the hood?
I did not.
Oh,
I grew up in the okay. I grew up in the country.
Oh, Lord, okay. Well, I did too, but I spent a lot of times in the hood.
But I know a lot of people from the hood.
Okay. Well, I actually live in the hood, so, you know.
And
so
people from
tell
the
me
hood,
about their experience just
people,
getting to know.
People,
go ahead.
People from the hood are the same as everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So tell me about your experiences, like, you know, meeting these people from the hood and them inspiring you to write this book.
In my experience, the people that I have met and had a relationship with that grew up in the hood or was from that street life were some of the most loyal people
mm-hmm.
that I have ever met.
Yes.
So my experience has always been positive. And I can't speak anything else because I haven't experienced anything else.
So you just been rolling through your adulthood until you're 45, you're like, I'm going to write me a book.
I think I don't know if this makes sense or not, but I couldn't rest until the book was written, if that makes sense. Like, I was supposed to write the book.
It makes sense. Believe me, it does. Because everybody always said that I was going to write a book, and I was like, what are y'all talking about? I'm definitely not going to write a book. Well, you done did everything you need to. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not writing a book. Now, here I am. So we touch bases with your books. Where can we find your books? What platforms?
They are on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and I'm sure on any other online network that offers books.
Do you have your own website?
I do not.
Okay. You know, you do your own website, you can direct your traffic straight to your books, and you'll get all the proceeds instead of it going to Amazon.
I'm working on that, but, yeah. That's the procrastination.
Mm-hmm. Do you need help with that?
I probably do.
Okay. Well, after the show, hit me up, and I'll help you with that.
Okay. On your Facebook?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Hit me up in Messenger, and I'll help you with that. I got a website, and I don't even fool with it. But it's good to have because instead of getting Amazon all the money, you'll get dollar for dollar what you're supposed to get.
I was thinking, I was trying to figure that out. I was trying to do some research on that, but
you will get dollar for dollar for what the book, because it'll come from you, and then if you have books on hand, you just send them out to yourself. So it's basically you and the customer.
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you for that.
You know why? You see, that's the way to get to your bestsellers list, too. And another thing to get to your bestsellers list is to trick your email. You send 2,000 emails to 2,000 different people with your book and your cover, and they will see it. They can either click it or they can't. But you will also have sent out 2,000 emails.
That's 2,000 emails, period, or a day?
Well, I mean, it varies. But what it does, it's almost like a search engine. What it does, it shows the people in the email that, hey, I got a book out. They click on it if they decide they want it or not. And that's how you get on the bestsellers list, is by demand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You don't even have to be the best author in the world to be in the bestsellers list. Because believe me, I've read some bestsellers books and it was not what I thought it was. So, are you working on any new projects?
I'm writing another children's book.
Okay, tell us about this.
Is geared toward, right now the concept is geared toward African-American boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't made up my mind on what the title will be, but I think it's Akeem Hat in a Dream.
Oh. So what is this one going to be about?
It's about a little boy who finds a cat, and he learns that cats have 9 lives. So he's going to have 9 dreams geared around different professions.
Okay.
And then I think by the end, he's going to have a conversation with his father. And his father's going to ask him something like, what is it? So you had 9 dreams and about these different professions. What is it that you would like to be when you grow up? And he will say, I want to be like you or something like that.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, that's usually how we all know. You know, we pick people that's around us to be our superstars.
Right.
So what authors do you like right now? What do you read from other authors?
I haven't read a book in a while besides mine, because I have to check it and check it and recheck it, because my name is on it and I want it to be perfect. But my favorite book, well, I started out reading. What drew me into Urban Lit was Fly Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I liked Sister Soldier's book, Cold as Winter.
Yeah.
And then I've downloaded a lot of books from Amazon for authors, but I haven't really had a chance to read them.
You know what I had the hardest time doing?
Mm-hmm.
Reading somebody else's work after I did my work. Because
really?
After you write a book and you know your book is good and you read another book, you're like, this book is terrible.
I try not to do that.
I mean, but you do. It's a natural instinct.
But I have done that. What I don't like is when I read a book and there is errors in it, or a lot of errors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I try and recheck my book after it's been published to make sure that there's no errors. Because if there's too many errors, I'm going to pull it.
You know what? My book, The Play on Me, I love that book. But at the end, there was an error. The end of it. Right at the end. And that was the drama part. And I told my publisher, I was like, no. That's the error right there. She's like, okay, we're going to fix it. It never was fixed. So that has ate at me for the longest time.
That happened to me on this last book. It was a lot of errors, and they were talking about they're going to send it to the end, and I was like, no. And I know I got on her nerves, but my name is on it.
Yes.
So if I I'm gonna start reading my book, and if I find too many errors, I have to pull it.
And, you know, that's how I was. I was like, who read this? Did y'all proofread it? I'm like, yeah, the girl. No, she didn't. I found too many errors. And the ending is one word that's missing at the end. But that throws off the whole book.
Yeah, it throws off the book to me. When I was reading it, I couldn't even finish. And I was like, I can't do this.
You know, So what do you have to tell the audience about writing, and what kind of inspiring words can you give them?
I would say if you feel it in your heart that you believe that you are a writer, continue to write regardless of what people say. If that's your dream, then go for your dream and don't live your life based on what somebody else thinks.
All right. I like that. So before we go, I want you to give out your social media outlets and let everybody know where we can find your books and Let's let them know what projects you got up next.
Okay, on Instagram, my Instagram handle is AnitraWrites2018. That's where I post mostly about my books and other things that I have going on. On Facebook, my author Facebook page is under Writing Queen, and my personal Facebook page is Anitra Ferguson. My next project is I'm working on a children's book, Akeem and the Dream, and my books could be found on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and any other online book handler.
Okay, okay. Nice. So, I have one more question for you before we go. How did your family receive you when you said you was going to write a book and it came out?
My family support basically anything that I'm going to do if it's positive. I think that they were surprised by the language in the book because I am so quiet normally. So I think the whole genre, urban literature, surprise, that's what they were most surprised about, the language and the genre.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and it was a pleasure to meet you.
I want to thank you for inviting me and making me feel comfortable, because at first I was so nervous.
That's why it's called the author's lounge, so you can lounge and relax and enjoy yourself. Oh, my goodness. I was on a one-week hiatus, and I missed my show so much. So, yes, this is a place where authors come, put their work out there, and just relax and let the world know who they are more than just being an author, that we are real human beings and we go through real emotions and getting to know us as a person. Instead of just a person that's on the book.
Right. Okay, I have a question before I log off. Where can I find your work?
Amazon. It's Hezekiah Morris on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Hezekiah Morris. I wrote Restoring Hezekiah, Changing the Generation. Restoring Hezekiah, Me and Only Me. Remember them days when we was young. The Player in Me and The Player in Me Too.
Okay. So I guess I'm going to go your next book. I'm going to go buy your book.
Yes. Oh, girl, you will love The Player in Me. The Player in Me Too, 1 and 2. Oh, my goodness.
I'm looking at a picture. Is that Tupac on it?
No, that's not, but.
Okay.
It's good. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to have the hip-hop artist, Joe the Truth.
I look too good to be alone. Ooh.
All right, all right. Welcome back, y'all. You are listening to Drip the Mic and the Author's Lounge. Call in number 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. Or if you want to share something, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. This guy right here is about to come up. I didn't know that he was really the truth until I listened to one of his songs on YouTube yesterday. I said, woo-wee, this guy is fire, straight fire. I don't even know if I can just say, like, he's been the hottest rapper that I've had on my show because, man, he is as fire. I'm like, this dude is nice. It shocked me. I was like, okay. And he's going to be on my show.
Yes, sir.
And I'm still tripping. So I want to introduce hip-hop artist Joe the Truth.
Joe, what's going on?
What's up, man?
What's happening? What's going on, man?
Man, I want to tell you, your music is fire.
I appreciate it, man. For real. Like, I've been doing it for a minute.
I'm telling you, it's fire, dog. I'm just sitting there just listening to, like, oh, man, I didn't know this dude was that fiery. But you're going places.
I really appreciate it, man. A new project is coming about next month. You know, I was going to put out a little, you know, I do the slow jams. I do the up-tempos, but, you know, I'm focusing on the up-tempos right now, so we're going to be in the club with it. So I'm out of New York right now. So
okay. Man, that popped that shit. I about went ham yesterday, yo. I about went ham. I said, no, that joint is hot. Man, tell the audience a little bit about yourself. I got hype now.
So, yeah, Memphis, born and raised. So I left Memphis around when I was about 16. I moved to New Orleans. Really,
okay.
LaPlace, Louisiana. Yeah, so I moved there. Stayed there for about 5 years, went to high school out there. Went back to Memphis, you know, because I really didn't want to go to college, man. You know, I wanted to do something else. And plus, I was doing music, but I kept on doing it. So next thing you know, man, I went back to New Orleans, stayed out there for a good little minute, went to school, and so started moving around. I was I'm a traveling technician right now, you know, doing my cable thing for real, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm all the way out here with it on the East Coast.
So what gave you the inspiration to be a hip hop artist? Because you are so you are nice with it.
Thank you. So my inspiration, I say, is just I don't know. So a little story about me. So when I was 2 years old, my mom said I was 2 years old. Everybody was in the back seat of the car, they were playing music or whatever. And so they were playing music and they were bobbing their heads and I was the only one not bobbing my head. So I was actually deaf. And they put tubes in my ears. But the tubes fell out like when I turned like 10. And
wow.
So the music stuff, like sounds, vibrations, I just love my energies. I read people's energy. I love you. Like in the studio, I try to go to the studio. I do my own stuff. Like, I record my own stuff. So anything you hear from me, 9 times out of 10, I dropped it in my studio.
So, see, man, that's an inspirational story in its own because you couldn't even hear.
Yeah. Crazy, I couldn't.
And your music is dope, and it's on fire. So, all right. And I want you to do a freestyle, but I ain't going to even go there yet. We got a little bit of time. I said 5 minutes, but I'm going to give you a little bit more time. Where can they find your music at, and what platforms are you on?
So you can find my music everywhere. You can find it on Apple Music, SoundCloud, YouTube, anywhere. Spotify, you know, definitely. But just type in Joe the Truth. Joe the Truth Testimony, Joe the Truth, anywhere. You're going to find me, hge.joethetruth. On Instagram, that's what I mainly use. Yeah.
That's what's up. So what you got planned for your future? Where are you gonna take this hip hop stuff?
So for my future, what I'm thinking about is shoot more videos, because I know people want to see the artists that they, you know, listening to. You know, they want to come into my world, and I'm going to let y'all into my world. So, yeah, you know, and I feel like the things that I talk about is some things that happened in my life. And plus, I got partners that done did, you know, things, and they tell me about it, and I put some of that in my music, like, you know, coming from their perspective type of thing. You know, and I feel like I can do it fluently.
True. So how is it affecting you right now? Because, you know, a lot of hip-hop artists are dying. Like, every other day you hear about a hip-hop artist dying and they're trying to live that dream. And it's crazy out here. What keeps you focused and not focused on what they're doing but what you are doing?
You know, I've really thought about that, too, because I haven't seen a lot of artists dying, and I know when you're out here flossing and all that, I mean, got to have security. I mean, it sounds like you snitching or you got all these niggas. I mean, like, come on now, bro. They got C9 out here. And he, so, like, I ain't comparing myself to him. I could never, I don't want to, but, like, you got to have security. Like, point blank.
But one of your you know, for me, and, you know, for me being an author and you a rapper, but I'm hood and I like letting people in on me. That's how I write my books. This is who I am. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, when you get to a certain point, you got to have protection. You can't just be caught slipping.
Definitely.
Because the other person ain't got nothing to lose, but you have the rest of your life to lose.
Yeah, I'm from Memphis, so Memphis is rough. So I don't want to look over my shoulder. I don't ever have to look over my shoulder when I'm in my city, though.
I feel you.
I'm a keeper like that.
Do you freestyle?
Yeah.
Man, drop, son. Come on, make drip this mic.
All right. Said you were black king. Like, wear your diamond ring. But right now, shit look better than it seems. Cash rules everything, all about the cream. Thinking about I, but it ain't no I team. And not like women that begin to try things. I don't like women that begin to mind games. But this shit out here be so fucked up. The government manipulates your mind. I know what's important. You're fresh in them Jordans before them Jordans niggas extorted. Pull up on your light, take them off. News and report it. Ain't nobody caught alive, everybody recording. If it ain't killing a nigga, I swear that this shit is boring. Fuck the gang who woke it up, feel like everybody is snoring. Bust a nigga head if you fuck with Darren the Doyle. I just want to see my future like I'm in a DeLorean. I just want to have peace like I'm feeling euphoria. You're locked up, you can't even pay your bond. You down one, it feel like you just need a hole in one. Think you ain't fucking with a fifth of money come. Like, damn, nigga, why you don't want to get you none? The fuck though, but the only thing I trust in is my gun. The only white people ain't did me nothing is my fun. The only niggas that I fuck with helped me overcome. I found out who them niggas was, left me looking dumb. Cause when I hit
Yo, word. That's what's up. And y'all heard it first on the author's land. I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I'm going to push your music too. So whenever you got something you want me to share or to post on my social media sites, because I got Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that, man. I'm down for it, man. I always support my brothers.
Blessings, man. Blessings.
And I appreciate you coming on the show. Y'all, that's Jody Truth. Yes, sir. Check him out. Every platform, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, whatever. He's coming.
Yes, sir. Ski, ACE.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you for coming on the show, dog.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Anytime you want to come shoot, if you want to lead out the show, just let me know.
All right. Say no more.
All right.
All right.
Oh, man. That's Joe the Truth. man, he nice. He has some talent. Young black brother doing his thing. I like that. That's what it's all about, uplifting and just finding your niche in this world. Next up, we have an author, Anthony Monroe, a.k.a. Wordplay. He was born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. He began writing just 3 years ago, but when you read his work, you would think he had been writing forever. Mr. Anthony has the ability to create life through words from the perspective of any man, woman, or child. He is able to bring his own unique style of storytelling to the world of urban fiction that his readers would surely identify with. Currently, Wordplay is working on his second urban fiction series, as well as a few other projects. He also hopes within the next year to have his own publishing company, Brown Sugar Inc., Well Publications Presents, on the map. Introducing to the show, Anthony Monroe. How you doing, sir?
How you doing?
All right, man. It's a pleasure to meet you, my brother.
Pleasure to meet you.
Authors. You know, authors ain't nerds no more. We got a little swag with it.
All right.
So tell me, Mr. Anthony, tell the world a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you do.
Cincinnati, Ohio, born and raised, still reside, 37 years old. Been writing since, I've really been writing, since I was a kid, but, you know, professionally I didn't get into it until about 2016 when I released the original version of my current project.
So take us through you writing your first book, that process and how you came up and you decided, okay, I want to write this first book and this is how I want to do it. Lead us through that process.
Well, I read a lot of, what they call street fiction. That's my favorite. That's my favorite genre.
But see, Anthony, I like street fiction too. Some of that be too street for me because it be ain't no way in the world you're gonna have a shootout in broad daylight and ain't no police coming. Well, I'm from the hood. I know. You got 5.5 seconds to do what you got to do, and they there.
Well, some of it is, I'm a big believer in, a story has to make sense. A story has to, flow, it has to flow a certain way to make sense. I mean, and some do, some that I've read have, and some haven't. But
what's your process since you like that street? Because, when I was locked up, that's all I read, and then I was like, nope, I don't want to read no more street fiction because they're all the same. My mind is warped. Give me some John Grissom. Give me some James Patterson.
And I didn't want to do I didn't want my first project to be cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Cookie cutter fiction, but I wanted to write what I enjoy reading.
But what was your twist to it? What was your twist? Because you enjoy reading it, but you wanted to put a twist on it. I know you did. What was your twist?
I take like my inspiration comes from movies.
Okay.
A lot of it from movies. And, I watch a lot of these gangster movies and.
I love gangster movies. What gangster movies you like? Because I love gangster movies.
I like, you know, the Godfather trilogy, of course.
I love the Godfather, all of them. Man, I used to wish, that I was the Don. Tell me, I ain't right. Tell I ain't right. Mm-hmm.
Don Corleone.
Yes, sir.
But I liked, you know, Goodfellas,
I make you an offer you'll never refuse.
A lot of those type of.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I also, you know, like reading that those type of stories too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I would be reading a certain book and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what, Anthony?
I would think to myself.
Yeah. You know what, Anthony? You are a great writer. You know why? You know why you're a good writer?
I like to think I have a out-of-the-box imagination.
Because you like them gangster movies like The Godfather, and you read the books. You didn't actually just watch the movie. You read the books, too.
All right.
And the books take you to another place, like the calamari. Like, people don't know the inside stories about, like, the calamari in Italy and all of that. I studied that.
Yeah.
And so I already know the writing style.
I mean, that's the only way that's a part of, that's the only way I can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I can formulate a story. If a movie that I like, you know, has a book attached to it, you know.
So who was your inspiration in the literature field as you was growing up?
Well, the first book that I read was Zora Neale Hurston, Their Eyes Are Watching God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I read, you know, Quan, who was my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
Wahida Clark.
Yes, she is the bomb. Ain't she the bomb?
Yes.
I'm gonna tell you another one. What's her name? Terry Moore. Who wrote the True to the Game?
Oh,
Terry Woods.
Terry Woods.
After I read her book, I cannot read another urban fiction book because her book that slams all of them.
And I prefer, it's funny you bring up Terry Woods because I was watching the movie adaptation of True to the Game on TV the other night, or 2 nights ago, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the book over the movie with that one.
How many books have you published?
Just the one so far, because like I said, mm-hmm. I republished this one, my current one, last year. I just went over the 1 year, had my 1 year anniversary of this, or author anniversary, I should say, for this book. But I have lots more in the works.
Mm-hmm.
I have one that's I'm hoping to drop. I'm hoping to the end of this month, It's called Bonded by Blood. Some secrets will not stay buried.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, grinding, trying to make my mark on the literary world.
Believe me, you will. Don't give up. I was the same way when I first started. And I was like, you know what? Forget it.
Oh, yeah, I've had those days.
But, you know, that's key question. So tell me a little, when you was coming up through your childhood, did you think that you was going to be a writer?
Absolutely not. I wanted to go into architectural design in high school and, you know, once I got to college.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, writing professionally didn't hit me until, you know, about 5 years ago. But, you know, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish.
No, I was going to say, once I, you know, started getting into it professionally, I couldn't really, I knew, like, when I published the original version of this book in 2016, that's when I knew, you know, this is what I want.
Okay. So in your process writing your first book, how did your family and friends receive that? How did they support you or not support you?
They were happy for me.
Mm-hmm.
A few of my family members did download the book. But of course, you know, there's always that saying of you get more, you get more praise from strangers.
Definitely.
Than you do your own family sometimes. And yeah, that was the truth in my case, but you know, it's been a long journey, and you know, they were proud of me for actually accomplishing something.
Definitely. So, okay, you said that in writing your books, how was your mindset and how you wanted to produce your story and to put it out there?
I'm really slow with my process.
Mm-hmm.
I like to write everything out before, I'll jot something down anywhere before I actually, you know, stick it into a story. It's my process is very slow and methodical.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two words I would say best describe my writing style.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll come up with, an ending, the ending first, and sometimes I'll start at the beginning and then jump to the ending, you know, what I know I want the ending to be,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll just fill in the rest afterward.
Okay. So tell the audience, what do you see yourself in an author's perspective, let's say 5 years from now?
I see myself 5 years from now, even before. Before 5 years from now, I like the Essence bestsellers list, I'd like to be on that. If it, and it, or the New York Times bestsellers list. And, Say again.
I said, Lord, please let me get that one time.
Retire
from writing.
I mean, yeah, and you know, I'm not worried about, you know, I'm not worried about being the number one or whatever. I would just like to be on the list.
Yes, definitely. So growing up, and you becoming an author in your childhood, tell us a little bit about your upbringing. What you went through?
I was one of those children that was like close. You would say, guess I say closed off. Stayed to myself. You know, I was, you know, I would, you know, write and draw and, you know, be in my own little world. But I mean, I had a good upbringing with, you know, a lot of family around me.
So, tell me about this publishing company that I've been reading about, Mr. Monroe.
Brown Sugars Inkwell Publications. It's actually the merging of two different companies. Myself and my partner, John B. A. Morris. You can find her on Facebook as well. We both decided to, you know, merge our companies into one and work together. She's based out of California. I want to bring specifically black authors of, you know, any, you know, all genres, you know, bring their talent into the light and, you know, out to, you know, put it out to the world.
Yes,
that's what we basically want to do.
Okay, that is great. So, how is promoting and marketing been going along for you?
I do a lot of my own promoting and marketing, and it's paid off. You know, I won't say it's paid off as well as I'd like, but you know, some progress is better than no progress, and you know, I'm happy with you know what I've done so far is,
yeah,
getting the book out there and.
Mm-hmm. So do you publish your own books, or do you have a publisher?
No, I self-publish.
Self-publish?
Yes, and I encourage other authors to do.
Okay, so let them know what's the difference between self-publishing and being published through a publishing company or something like that.
Well, self-publishing, it's basically just you. You're responsible for everything, for finding an editor, finding a promoter, finding a...
You know what, he never promoted me.
Well, see, you had a terrible publisher.
Oh, man, he was terrible. He wanted all the shine.
Because,
Anthony, he wanted
I mean,
all
the
shine.
The publisher, the publisher's job is to make sure the book is available and to put. I mean, it's the author's job to push the book, but I mean, I believe that.
And see, I have some horror stories about my first post. He wanted to rewrite my wording in my book, and I'm like, no, dude, I want to keep that. Like,
yeah.
I'm the author.
Yeah,
you
that's
are not.
A no for me.
Don't change this. This
yeah,
is how I want it. I want it authentic. Don't put it in your words.
Yeah, that's a no for me. God.
And then every time when I published the book and I would put a post up, he was my friend on Facebook, he was like, yeah, come to this publisher. But he never promoted me one time. I was like, yo, you're blocked. You know what I mean? Like, no. You're promoting yourself
and I mean,
not promoting your... Go ahead.
Yeah, like I was saying, I mean, it's the author's, you know, people say it's the author's job to push the book once it's out. But, I mean, I think a lot of that responsibility is on the publisher,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
If they,
okay,
if they really want their...
My first book, I paid over $1,300.
Yeah.
So can I get some marketing and promoting out of this?
Yeah, that's a no for me. Yeah.
You know? Well, I got my team to go over this. My team. Now, mind you, that book was well written from the beginning to the end. And it took me many places. But at the same time, if you know that book is that great, push it for me.
Right.
What if I didn't know nothing about the internet?
A lot of publishers don't get that. I mean, they think that a lot of publishers think that their job is to make sure that the book is available and that's it. But.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you really want your authors to succeed, you're going to be standing right next to them pushing it.
Exactly.
In whatever form it comes in.
Exactly right.
So I'm trying to do now.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to do now with my company, you know, is make sure that the world knows that I have these authors and, you know, they have some fire coming.
So when are you going to start your publishing company, and when are you going to let me know that I can let other people know that you are a publishing company and you're looking for writers to come join your team?
Well,
because we need more good publishers out there.
Well, we are looking for authors. We have we're currently four authors besides myself. For female authors, I'm currently looking for male authors.
Okay. I think I got a couple for your own deck too, sir.
I will shoot them out. You know,
I mean, I can publish too. I have a publishing company, but I just don't. Right now, I don't even feel like dealing with the business right now.
Right. Shoot the information my way. I would definitely like to talk to them.
Okay.
But,
I definitely will be. So how can I reach you
partner.
On social media?
Social media, let's see. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. Twitter. I'm even on Black Planet for those who remember Black Planet.
Okay. Black Planet, I heard that in a minute.
My handle on Instagram is A.R. Monroe, 136 on Facebook. Anthony Ant Monroe, author wordplay. On Twitter is Natty Boy 83, NATIBOY 83. And I'm just trying to get my name out there and get my authors out there, because, like I said, we coming.
Yeah, they will be coming. They will be coming. So, any final words that you want to say to the audience, or inspiring words you want to say to the audience?
Well, thank you to those who support me. I have a few people that are actually listening to this podcast right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to aspiring authors, you know, take your time, write what you want to write, and write what you want to read, and, you know, if you enjoy what you do, you know, everything else will fall into place. You just have to be ready to receive what comes your way. But,
yeah. Well, Mr. Monroe, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
And me and you would definitely be talking, because I have some people that's going to be coming your way, sir. And me and you have a lot in common. We have a lot in common. I know you watched the Godfather trilogy. I didn't see no difference. Did you?
No.
I didn't either.
Not really.
I'm like, why did they even make a trilogy?
I mean, I was okay with it.
The first one was good. I love three better than all of them.
I was okay with the first two. I was cool with the first two. I think I wanted to say there was a fourth one, but
that's the trilogy. It just came out about 3 months ago. The remake of the third one, but the third part was better than the trilogy they made.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point they go too far. They went too far.
Mm-hmm. But you know they're coming out with a Godfather. It's going to be called The Making of the Godfather.
Yeah, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every weekend I used to sit at home. And I would watch all three of them all day long. Popcorn, that was my day. And I've been watching The Godfather 10 times or maybe more.
Yeah.
And each time I love it.
I mean, it's one of those classics that you can watch over and over again and catch something that you missed the time before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Well, Anthony, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And cheers to your future, because I see you got a bright one. And I like the way you write, and I like your banking concept. And I will be
appreciate the love.
And I will be reaching out to you, so thank you for coming to the Author's Lounge tonight.
I look forward to speaking with you. Like I said, thank you for the opportunity.
Anytime. My line's always open. Come in my message, talk all to me if you need something or you need some advice or help with anything. I'm always here.
I definitely keep that in mind.
Yes, sir. And you can also look up my books as Hex Camoys on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right. I'll definitely
I started off with one like you. Now I'm five in.
I'm trying to get to five, you know.
And about to have a movie come out.
Now, that would be dope.
Yes, definitely. So I'm always here, my friend, and I want to just reach out that olive branch and tell you thank you for coming on the show. Yes, sir. That was Anthony Monroe, everybody. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to tonight's show, The Author's Lounge, presented to you by Drip the Mic. Call in with 646-378-0355. Press 1 if you wanted to speak. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And have a great night. Bye-bye.
Is my king, is my one, yes, he's my father, yes, he's my son, I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through, and everything I am, my support system, can't live without him, the best thing since sliced bread, is his kiss, his hug, his lips, his touch, and I just want the whole world to know about my life.
No.